It is certainly good to see everyone that's here this morning. We know that there are probably still a few that are a little afraid to get out yet, and that's fine. We have the opportunity to come together to worship God, and when we do so, we want to keep our minds, our hearts, and our will in His way. And I appreciate what Russell said to open up this morning. You know, during this time, none of us have been through these things before, and so sometimes we didn't know exactly what to do or what not to do, but we've been trying the best we can to keep everything together and to worship and to study and to learn as best we can. And, you know, I've made mistakes, probably everybody else has, and I certainly apologize for that too. So I notice, if you have noticed, and if you know it, we are putting our Sunday morning lesson, our recorded, on Thursday or Friday of the week, and you can look on Facebook and see that. And we've had a couple of mistakes on that one too, but that's all right. You know, whenever you're starting something, that's things that happen. And I just want to mention for a moment, my grandson in Arkansas looked at mine and he says, "Grandpa, you weren't wearing a suit." So I said, "Okay, so I'm back in uniform now, I guess." So this morning, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 23, it says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Now we read that passage and realize this is God, our Christ, speaking to us on how we are to live and how we are to deal with each other in our lives. Now, some people think that the Bible is just simply a book, if they're not familiar with it, that says, okay, you have to do this and you can't do that. And it's just basically all these do's and don'ts. And we might get confused as to what we're supposed to do or not. Well, that's only a very small part of the Bible. There are certain things we're not supposed to do, of course. And anything that God tells us not to do, it's because it's harmful to us. And whatever God tells us that we are supposed to do and believe and to obey, it is for our benefit. God does everything that He can for us so that we can make a choice to serve God or not. Well, Jesus was the greatest ever to tell how that we are supposed to deal with each other in our lives, as well as dealing with what God says. And so the Bible is a book that gives us direction in our everyday life, how we are to live, how we are to serve God, how we're to worship, and how we're to deal with each other. And so that's what Jesus is talking about here. And He was not only the greatest teacher that ever lived, He was also the greatest example that has ever been to show us how to deal with each other. And if you turn over for a moment to Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul says there, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So we walk by the Spirit by adding to our lives the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and all of those things He has said. And so the Apostle Paul, through the teaching of Jesus Christ, through Him by the Holy Spirit, reveals to us what our attitude is to be every day that we live if we're trying to serve God and serve Christ. Now, to be sure, we're all going to fall short of these things, and we're not always going to have peace among us or long-suffering or faithfulness, and we're going to fall short. We know that we do because we're all human beings. And yet we need to have another part of that also. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, "Brethren, if any is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one with a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself also that you might be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So we're to bear each other's burdens. We're to help each other along the way because all of us need it. Sometimes maybe we're on a high level and doing well, or we fall and we're on a bad level and down there, and someone needs to help us to get back up and go again. And so that's what Jesus is talking about in the passage we read and what we're going to look at this morning. So how do we deal with each other? For example, even when we become angry or misunderstand others' motives and actions, and we know that we all fall short in this area. So we look at this and realize then, I'll go back to Matthew 5 and verse 23 again. Jesus says there, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Now, when Jesus was saying this in the Sermon on the Mount, it was a time in which they were still living under the law of Moses. So the term altar there is how they would take their gift to the priest at the temple or the tabernacle, whichever it might have been during the time, and they would offer the gift, and then they would go their way, and the priest would offer the gift, and they would be forgiven of their sins and until they sin later, and then they had to go through the same process again. So that's what Jesus is talking about right there to those people. But the principle is also for us. The altar for us is when we come together to worship, to serve, and every day we live, we're offering our gift before the altar of God. It is the appearance that we have before God when we serve, when we worship, when we work together. And so when he says there, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something against you. Now notice, this is a situation where I've done something or you've done something wrong, so somebody has something against us. And sometimes maybe it really did happen. Sometimes it didn't actually happen, but someone thinks it did. And so there is a time of trying to set things right between them and between us. Now, I have to remember the problem always has to be finding what the truth is and trying to work together to work out those problems. And he says against you. Now, whether it's true or not, we have to understand that we need to get together to make sure that we're doing the things that God wants us to do and how we are to serve him. Now, I've had people tell me, well, wait a minute. If it's something against me, I have to go to the other person. And if somebody else does something to me, then I have to go to him also. And I've heard people say, well, wait a minute, that's not fair. Well, the reason it's that way is because if we're going to be Christians, God and Christ expect a higher standard for you and me than the world around us. So we have to do either one, no matter what what the world around us may think, because of the Lord and what he says to us. So in other words, he says, don't wait and go back later on and try to forget about it at that occasion if you know there's a problem there. So verse 24, he says, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And so the idea there is make it right as much as possible. Now, to be sure, because we're all human beings and sometimes we don't live up to what God wants, sometimes there are people we can't make it up to. But we have to do the best that we can because we're those who are called to be followers of our Lord. And we don't have to consult anyone else, and that's what Jesus is talking about. Go to that person, see if you can work out the problem. Now turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, again, the Apostle Paul is writing there. And in Romans 12 and verse 17, he says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Notice, if it is possible. We want it to be possible. We want to make sure that things are right with others and right with God. So if it depends on us, we need to make it right as much as we possibly can. And he wants us to be reconciled to each other. Now another passage concerning the idea of reconciled is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and beginning at verse 18. Now here, Paul says there, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." So if we are in Christ, we have a ministry. We have a work that we are to do for him. That is to reconcile ourselves to God and lead others to be reconciled to God also. So that's a ministry he leaves with all of us who would follow the Lord. Well, what does he say about it then? Verse 19. "That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." So God committed the word of reconciliation, the gospel, the message of salvation and eternal life to us. And so in so doing, we are reconciled. Reconciled to God, reconciled to each other when there's a problem among us. And so if we take God at his word and his will and we submit to it, most of the time things can be worked out no matter what they may have been. But we have to take the initiative because we are God's children. And because we are Christians, we have a higher responsibility placed upon us because we are Christians, because we're trying to follow the Lord. I'll turn back again, back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. And here, in a sense, we have the other side of the coin, so to speak. In Matthew chapter 18, we begin reading at verse 15. Excuse me. Jesus says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." So this is if somebody sins against us. What are we to do? He says, if one sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. So we have to go tell and talk to the one who has sinned against us. And that's what God wants us to do. And not to go and tell everyone else about it, but try to work that out individually. And that's the point Jesus is making, as we'll see in this passage. The fewer people know about it, the better off it's going to be. And so he says, go tell him one-on-one in a discussion, as much as possibly can be. And remembering what Paul says, as much as lies within you, make peace or live at peace with others who are around us. And so what does Jesus say about it? You go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And the idea, as we'll see in a few moments, is you do so not as an enemy, but as a brother or sister in Christ. And when we do that, we can work those things out. And so what did Jesus say about it? He says if you go to that person and it works as the Lord wants it to do, then he says you have gained your brother or sister. In other words, we have done what God wants us to do. We have been faithful to his will and, of course, faithful to help other people along the way in their lives. And in James chapter 5, James chapter 5 and verse 19, he says, "Brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back." And that's the idea. Whether it's ourselves or others around us, we go to a person who is in need and having difficulty there in these areas. And he says, if one wanders from the truth of God, and you bring him back, he says, verse 20, "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." So we have a responsibility to go to someone to work those things out. But the next question in verse 16, there is, what if we can't exactly agree? And sometimes that's going to happen. Matthew 18, verse 16, Jesus says, if he hears you, you gained your brother. Verse 16, if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Now, the principle that Jesus is quoting is from Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. So if there's something that is known to have been done, or something, some great problem that has come up, if it can't be worked out just one-on-one, take with you two or three witnesses. And this is not, as they say in the court, hearsay witnesses. These are people who actually know the thing or whatever it might have happened during that time or the incident or the problem. And of course, then there's another thing. If they will listen and things can be reconciled, then that's exactly what God wants to do. But then chapter 18 of Matthew and verse 17, he says, if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen and a tax collector. So Jesus says, if everything else has failed, take it to the group. In other words, we as the church, as Jesus is looking forward to the time here where the church would be established. But it's only after these other things have been done first. But even at that, turn over to 2 Thessalonians for a moment. In 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul there is talking about this very thing of working out problems among you. And he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet, notice what he said, yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In other words, it's always going to be, according to the Lord, to the best way that we possibly can, with the fewest others knowing about the things that might have happened. And so we begin to see how these things that God is speaking, that Christ is speaking here, show us the way and how he wants to deal with each other. Now turn now to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and beginning at verse 3. Luke 17 beginning at verse 3. Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now look at that. That's not hard to understand what Jesus said, but sometimes because of who we may be or what's been done to us or we have done to somebody else, sometimes it makes it difficult to do this. But again, that goes back to the idea that we as Christians have a higher responsibility than the world around us. Verse 3, so take heed to yourselves. If your brother sin against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Now that's a straight command of our Lord. It's not, okay, I might want to do that, but maybe I don't want to. No, Jesus commanded it that way because he understands us better than we understand ourselves. And so a rebuke may be needed sometime, but it's to be done in love and concern for others and the souls of others. And he says, if we do this and they were willing to repent and ask for forgiveness, he says, forgive them. But notice what verse 4 says. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now think about that for a minute. Seven times in one day, and each time he asks forgiveness. Well, what is Jesus telling us? He's telling us that there is no limit to forgiveness because God is our example. He's the one that sets the example for all of us. Turn for a moment back to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1 and beginning at verse 5. 1 John 1 beginning at verse 5. He says, this is the message which you have heard from him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness or evil in God. He is the ultimate light. And all the light we have in this life, physically and spiritually, ultimately comes from him. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So we say, okay, I'm in fellowship with the Lord, and we don't follow the things he has commanded. He says, we lie and we don't have fellowship with him. But he says then in verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So every day we live, we have a responsibility. Now in Matthew chapter 18, and Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. The Apostle Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother if he sins against me? Until seven times." Now, Peter probably thought he was really being generous to give that many times. But Jesus says, no. He says, forgive till 70 times seven. Well, if you do the math, that's 490 times. But what Jesus was saying is after 490 times, you don't have to forgive anymore. He's saying there is no limit to the forgiveness that we are to give. And that's what God does for you and me. If we could only sin 490 times and then God won't forgive anymore, we're all doomed. We're all lost. Because God is the one that has the forgiveness. Turn back now to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 again. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. Notice how much in the Sermon on the Mount has to do with our relationships with each other as well as our relationship with God. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 begins what sometimes is called the Lord's Prayer. Well, it is a prayer given by the Lord to his disciples, and I would suggest that the real Lord's Prayer, if you would, is John chapter 17. The whole chapter is the prayer that he prayed the night he was betrayed before he went to the cross. And one of the things he prayed for was his disciples, his apostles who were there with him, and for all who would believe on him through their word, which is all of us. But we look at that in chapter 6 of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said there in verse 9, "In this manner therefore pray." And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you know what it says. People quote it all the time. But verse 12, notice what verse 12 of Matthew 6 says. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Or some translations say, "Forgive our trespasses as we forgive the trespasses of others." Now, notice what it says. "Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors." That means we have to forgive those who are in debt to us, who need our forgiveness. And so, in so doing then, we have to realize that God wants us to forgive. We have to forgive our debtors. There's no alternative that Jesus gives. He doesn't say, well, if this happens, you don't have to forgive, or that happens. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. He says, forgive. That's it. That's what we are to do. Now, look in Matthew chapter 6 now, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 and 15 is a further explanation of what verse 12 says. Verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, skip down to verse 14. Here is an explanation. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now look at that. This is a sequel and explanation to verse 12. If we forgive, we'll be forgiven. That's God's promise. That's Christ's promise. If we don't forgive, we hold on to that. That anger and those other things that are involved there, and we don't forgive, he says, "I'm not going to forgive you either." And God will withhold forgiveness as long as that is in our heart and mind. I'll turn over to Colossians again. The book of Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 13. He says, "He," that's God the Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, and visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities, all things were created through him and for him. Now, as you read that, then how God has reconciled us to himself through the cross of Christ. Now, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. He says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved." If we are in Christ, we are the elect of God. We are holy and we are beloved. Not because we're sinless, but because He is and He forgives us. He says then, put on tender mercies and kindness and humility, meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also forgive. He set the greatest example of all, because He went to the cross for you and me. He is the greatest example, and we have to follow the lead which our Lord gives to us. So what does the Lord ultimately say about our forgiving? Turn now to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. When we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we are sealed for the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Bible says, when we obey the gospel, when we're baptized into Christ, we become part of Him and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a guide for us every day we live. He guides us by the message of His Word. And every day we live, we're to take that message as a guide in our life. And we grieve the Holy Spirit of promise by turning away from the things and not living according to what the Spirit has revealed. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. For it's all those bad things that cause us to have evil thoughts and everything in our heart and mind. He says, do your best to put all of those away. But that's not good enough, because we have to replace it with something else. Verse 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Some translations there say, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's how we are to forgive, as God has forgiven us when we sin. Now, if it were always easy, we wouldn't have to be commanded to do it. But He wants us again to live by a higher standard every day in our life. But we sometimes, maybe we're a little hard-headed about things, and our comments and our direction, we want to go our way rather than God's way. But if we follow the things He has commanded, He's going to forgive, and He's going to give us the promise of eternal life if we will believe it and will obey the gospel of Christ. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, and might point out right here, the Apostle Paul didn't divide the book of Ephesians into chapters as man did later. So this chapter 5, verse 1 goes with the previous verses. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God also in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. That's what He wants us to do. That's how He wants us to live, with each other, with Him, every day that we live. This morning, if you've heard the things that are here this morning, if we have discussed them and you've studied and have a need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we ask you to come on with Taylor. We stand as we sing.